to get a job. There's no bus service out at the Social Security office. There's no bus service out at the food stamp office. That doesn't work. For instance, here I am running around town with a melanoma on top of my head, and I come over there to the Board of Health and have it cut off. It's threatening my life.
So that's you make some excellent points there, and I think that's one of the things that the poverty simulation highlights is that you're right. Everybody doesn't have an access to a bank. Everybody doesn't have access to a bus stop or even the ability to get a bus pass. And so that's one of the items that came up last year when we did the poverty simulation is, man, it is really challenging. And it's not just one factor. You are trying to access healthcare. You are trying to get to work. You are trying to navigate your daily living activities when you may not be able to have access to all of the things that you just mentioned. Maybe you don't live in an area that has ready access to a bus stop, or maybe you live in an area that doesn't have ready access to a grocery store. And so that's one of the things that this simulation will highlight. So I appreciate those points because those are absolutely correct that everybody doesn't have equal access to
ready access to bus stops because the bus stops are 10 miles apart. But my real question was, having this melanoma on top of my head, can I come over there to the Board of Health and have it cut off? It's threatening my life.
Right. That's not one of the services that we provide at the health department. I would, Via Christi might be an option, or there might be some other providers in the community, but that's not one of the services that the health department provides.
Yeah.
Thank you for
a surgery.
Listening to my...
Yeah, an extremely valid perspective here as well. And, you know, some of the people who go through the poverty simulation realize exactly what you're saying. It wasn't even an option for me to go to the bank, right? Like, your story is completely validated here, right? Like, not everybody has access to all these things. And there's plenty of people in the community who just are not aware of this. And so that's also one of the major learning outcomes from this kind of experience.
All right. Thank you, caller, for that call. Again, phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. And we definitely welcome those sort of questions and really any thoughts you have and want to get involved in this conversation. Here with Brandon Irwin of the Healthy Community Labs and Riley County Health Department Director Jennifer Green, and we're talking about the February 24th poverty simulation that really goes over a lot of things at Part of Hall from 1 to 4 p.m. That's a Saturday on February 24th. And Brandon, there's a lot of partnerships with this. Obviously, the Riley County Health Department, what's some others? Thrive, Manhattan Area, or Manhattan Alliance of Peace and Justice, K-State Research and Extension, Everybody Counts, Flint Hills Wellness Coalition, quite a tribe of partners here.
Yeah, well, you know, people are getting, people are waking up, people are starting to take poverty seriously, as seriously as it deserves to be taken. And one of the reasons why we're here from the Healthy Communities Lab and the Riley County Health Department and the Flint Hills Wellness Coalition is that this is a public health problem, right? There are few predictors of poor health that are as strong as socioeconomic status. And so basically if you're poor, if you're living in poverty, you are also very likely reliably experiencing poor health outcomes. And so if we as a community and our larger community here want to get serious about improving people's lives and public health, we have to take things like poverty very seriously. And so people are starting to realize this, and that's why you see this outpouring of support for the poverty simulation.
And Jennifer, maybe expand on that about the county health department's involvement in this.
Right. So we want to make sure that everybody in the community has opportunities to have healthy outcomes and engage in healthy behaviors. And poverty is one piece of your life that can really impact that. So if we look at the amount that you make in a year, if you contribute most of that to your housing, or if you contribute most of that to your food, what does that leave for preventive care? So are you able to access or able to afford health insurance? And if you are unable to do that, then you might come to the health department for services. But we, as the caller mentioned, we only provide a limited amount of services. So if you have some condition that we don't treat and you are uninsured, how do you access health healthcare? How do you engage in healthy behaviors if you live in poverty? And that's not to say that you can't do that, but it creates challenges that might make it difficult for you to engage in a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, and let's be very frank about the nature of those challenges. It is really, really hard. And again, people, it's really hard to understand how difficult it is to live a healthy life when you're in poverty. The poverty simulation is one way to help form a deeper understanding of what that's like.
And looking at some of the statistics that you have on this, nearly 12,500 people in the county live in poverty, and a lot of people hear those poverty statistics when we're talking about Riley County and the Manhattan area and thinking that, well, you have a lot of students included in that. But we went over this, I think, a little bit in the first segment. A vast majority of the 12,500 is non-students.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a significant portion of people who are our friends and neighbors who live in poverty here who are not college students. However, we should point out that the notion that college students are, we should completely discount college students from this number. We can interrogate that and should interrogate that, because we have 40% of college students who are food insecure, meaning that they don't know, they go at least one night a week without knowing where they're going to get or they skip a meal. And so that's why you see the food pantry that just started on campus to try to address that problem. But and we're also talking about a population right now, again, you know, knowing that people's socioeconomic status is linked to their health. When we're talking about college students, we're talking about a population that, you know, yeah, so they may be getting some financial assistance from their parents, but they're also going into debt. They're also stressed while they're trying to get their education. And we can make some reasonable predictions about what kind of future we're setting up for them, you know, as they are going through college right here, being stressed and some of them not getting healthy, nutritious meals. We're looking at some of the highest rates of anxiety and depression among college students in U.S. history. This is all just to say we can't just write off college students out of hand because they might be getting financial assistance from their parents while they're also going into very, very likely going into debt after they graduate. So that's questionable.
And looking at these statistics, just real quick before we go to our next break, if you can want to talk, Jennifer or Brandon, you want to talk about the calculation of these numbers and kind of how these numbers came to be in this research.
The poverty numbers?
Yes.
Yeah. So these are U.S. Census numbers, and you know, the U.S. Census has been thinking for a long time about how do we grapple with the issue of college students, right? So first of all, I should say that, you know, the poverty numbers are set by poverty guidelines, right, at the federal level, and we, using a formula, we can calculate what the poverty sort of threshold is in different communities and counties. In Riley County, for a person, for one person living, a one person household, that's $12,060 a year. For a family of three, that's $20,420.
Even then, $12,000. I've lived by myself for quite a while. It's like,
Think about.
I don't know how I could do that.
No. Absolutely. Think about it this way. So think about what you have to fit in your budget of $12,000. We're talking about housing. We're talking about
health insurance.
We're talking about food. We're talking about, for a lot of people, we're talking about childcare. We're talking about transportation. Here is one slice of that pie. One slice of that pie is housing. A one-bedroom apartment in Riley County costs per year $25,000. One-bedroom apartment. Again, the poverty line in Riley County is $12,060.
If you're going to buy, or is that rent?
If you're going to rent an
apartment. That's renting.
$25,000 a year?
$25,000 for a one-bedroom.
Seems a little high, doesn't it?
It does. So if you are – no. That's what you would need to make in order
It
doesn't cost that much. That's how much you would need to make in order to be able to afford a one-bedroom apartment at 30% of your income, which is the threshold that we use. That means you would have to work 67 hours a week.
A little much.
That's a lot.
But for some families, that is the case. You do work multiple jobs, and maybe you're working 80 hours a week. I'm sure, Brady, there's weeks that you work 67 hours a week.
It's happened.
But there are families that do this consistently. So even if you think about the time it takes to make that amount of money, even if you could work 67 hours a week, and some families do, what time does that leave for time to spend with your family, or time to get to your dental appointment, or to your to get your flu shot, or to go pay your rent, or to go grocery shopping? And it's quicker to drive through the drive-through. So work is just one part. So people can say, well, yes, you can work that number of hours and make that number of dollars, but you still have to have time to do all the other things that impact your health, to exercise. We talk about getting out and exercising and being active, but do you have the time to do that if you are living in poverty?
Very good questions. And let's review more of those questions when we come back on the other side of the break. We'll talk more with Brandon Irwin and Jennifer Green on this edition of In Focus, right here on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN News is brought to you by ESB Financial. Their bank is big on you. Member